I don't think it's God's will that you get rid of your kids tonight. I don't think it's God's will that you do what many Americans do, just walk out on their priorities tonight. I don't think God tries us above that which we're able. But with the temptation, He always makes a way of escape. And He always helps us by His Spirit to keep going.
Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. We're about ready to go into one of the services here at Lancaster Baptist and open God's infallible Word. And I thank you for taking time to grow in your walk with Christ as we enjoy this service together. It's our prayer that today's podcast will meet a need in your life. Let us know how God's working in your life and stay in touch with us at LancasterBaptist.org. Thanks again for joining us today. May God richly bless you. Now let's go to the Word of God.
I speak to you tonight from the Bible, from the biblical word, long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Most of us aren't very good at it. And sometimes we can make it for a while, but then we just get to the end of ourselves and we get frustrated. I'm speaking tonight to people who are getting frustrated perhaps with something at work, something at your family. And the devil is trying to tell you, why don't you just quit? And I just want to say tonight, the devil is a dirty, fleshly liar who constantly tries to get God's people to quit. And yet God says, I want to give you long suffering. I want to give you the ability to make it through. When Terry and I were in Bible college a few years ago, we began our first pastorate. And those were some wonderful times. In the early days, we had just a morning service. So we'd go down on Saturday night, go door knocking, study for the message, preach Sunday morning, and then do a little more visiting and sometimes some soul winning on Sunday afternoon. And then we had Sunday night service a few months into it. And normally I was so tired, on the way home. I was a swing shift worker and a college student preaching on the weekends. And there were only two ways my wife could really get me to stay awake on the way home, normally on Sunday night, 150 miles back home. And one way was to pinch me. And she would do that sometimes if I was nodding off at the wheel. Other times she would bring up subjects that I was in disagreement with her so that she could grab my attention. We did not fight, of course. They were just subjects that maybe I would disagree with to keep me alert. But while we were there near the Indio area, one of the unique characteristics we discovered in that area was the date trees. And the date trees are popular there. They have an annual date festival. Some of you young men might try it. You'd do better there with the trees than you've done elsewhere. And the date trees were unique because they live a very long time. They do not bear fruit for their first 4 years, but after that, they begin producing fruit and will do so for about 80 years long. And they produce annually about 100 pounds of fruit will come onto the date tree. About 100 pounds of fruit annually. And this particular fruit is a fruit that is long-suffering. It's a fruit that bears intense heat and wind. And for 80 years, the same tree produces fruit about 100 pounds every year. Now, the word long-suffering is an interesting word. In the Greek, the word is made up of two Greek words, makrothermos, or simply meaning this, slow to get hot. It is a word that says we are long-suffering, we are patient, we're slow to become angry or wrathful. The matter of long-suffering is a fruit or a product of the Holy Spirit in your life. Tonight, I understand you have a hobby. I understand you have a work problem. I understand you have maybe an extra class you have to take. I understand sometimes the kids don't behave. I understand it was 195 degrees outside today. I understand all of these things. Listen, but through it all, God has long suffering and His Spirit wants to help us to stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ through it all. It's an attribute of God. Exodus 34 and verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. You meet a lot of Christians who are not long-suffering. Someone will offend them and they'll become quickly offended and stay offended. And you'll meet a lot of folks that struggle in that area. Sometimes you'll see folks that in the Christian life, they just have too many last straws. That was the last straw. That was the last straw. Sometimes it's with their marriage. And yet the Bible is very clear that God wants us to have long suffering. Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We live in a day of quick retribution. People want to get even right now. But God wants us to be long suffering. You say there's someone at work giving me a problem. And perhaps you could squash them. But God wants you to be long-suffering with them. And God is speaking tonight through His Word about this matter of having a long-suffering spirit and being patient on the Lord. I wish we could all be a little bit more like the boy standing at the end of the escalator. And the sales lady said to him, "Son, are you lost?" And he said, "No, ma'am. I'm just waiting for my chewing gum to come back." Long-suffering, willing to wait, and willing to be patient. I wonder if there's someone here tonight, and the devil's been telling you, this Christian life, I mean, you're just busy, and you're going to have to somehow, you're going to have to find a way to stop doing certain things. Let me tell you, do you need to find a way to change your schedule or your heart tonight? Could the Holy Spirit produce within you a spirit of patience, of long-suffering and peace to help you keep on keeping on? I don't think it's God's will that you'd stop being married tonight. I don't think it's God's will that you get rid of your kids tonight. I don't think it's God's will that you do what many Americans do, just walk out on their priorities tonight. I don't think God tries us above that which we're able. But with the temptation, He always makes a way of escape. And He always helps us by His Spirit to keep going. Notice tonight, a long suffering. Think of all, first of all, the perseverance of long suffering. Long suffering enables us to persevere in the difficult day. 2 Corinthians 6:4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. James 5:10, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. You say, well, sometimes it's hard to be a Christian. Take, for example, the prophets and just begin to think of them as they were ridiculed. Think of Elijah. Think of Jeremiah. Think of Hosea, whose wife Gomer was against him every single step of the way. And God says, when you think you're having a tough time, remember some of the prophets and what they went through and how they were long suffering. During that time, God gave them perseverance and they were able to keep on keeping on. There will be times in our life when we're going through challenges, but the Spirit of God says, I want to give you long suffering. Now let me challenge you tonight to persevere. I believe we ought to persevere for several reasons. First, we ought to persevere because of the will of God for our own life. I don't know about you. I don't want to miss God's will. Now, I've said this for many years to our church, and some people have listened to it. Be careful about making major decisions in your life when you're physically tired or when you're going through an emotional time. Oftentimes, and I'm not, we all get tired, we all get discouraged perhaps, but oftentimes wrong decisions are made when we feel that way. I just feel like she doesn't love me anymore. I just feel like I'm not appreciated anymore. I just feel like, feel this and feel that, decisions are made. And many times God has a plan through that. And He wants to draw near to us and strengthen us and teach us something. But we're not willing to let that washing machine go to the next cycle. And we're not long-suffering. And listen to me, I've seen two things happen with many Christians. Either they have to go through the same trial again next year, or they quit completely on God, when if they would have just sought the strength and resources of God, they might have learned and been stronger in the long run. God has a will. Well, someone says, what could God's will be during this season of unemployment? What could God's will be during this season where nothing goes right with my work or my family? What is God trying to do right now in my life? I cannot answer definitively, and I do not pretend tonight to be the Holy Spirit of God, but I can teach the Bible. I can show you what the Bible says. I want you to think of this. God may be trying to challenge you right now from His Word. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 119, please, verse 71. Psalm 119, it's in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible, verse 71. We need to persevere because God has a will in all of this. God makes no mistakes. How many of you enjoyed Brother Ron Hamilton singing Monday night? Rejoice in the Lord. He makes what? Talk to me tonight. Rejoice in the Lord. He makes what? I mean, the man's eye was taken with cancer. But somehow God took it. And God used that. I'm saying to you, God gave him strength and long suffering in his trial. Psalm 119, 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Would you say it with me now? Ready to begin. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Ladies, please. It is. Men, it is. Now you can stare at me like a calf staring at a new gate, and you can act like I'm the only one. But I'm going to tell you something. There have been times in my life when I've had affliction, and I feel like some things have not been friendly or kind or gone the way I thought they could go. And there have been times in my life when loved ones that I've known and loved, and things happen, I don't understand it. But I must stand here before you and tell you this tonight. I'm glad I did not quit. I'm glad I did not blame God. I'm glad I did not get bitter. Why? It is good that I was afflicted, that I might learn His statutes. And I'm just telling you, there are some truths from the Word of God tonight that I would not know, that I could not teach, had I not been through some times of affliction. And you had better be careful about wasting God's work in your life by quitting, by backing up, by rationalizing. Be careful, my friend. God may be on the verge of doing something great in your life. Oh, listen tonight. It is good, the psalmist said, that I have been afflicted. I'm simply saying sometimes God has the purpose of changing your heart and making His Word real to you. And we need to persevere in the time and in the way of long suffering. Sometimes God will bring certain circumstances into our life because He's about ready to promote us. He's about ready to use us in a way we didn't even think possible. Let's turn to another verse, Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. I'm saying tonight, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Quitters never quit. Quitters never quit. Don't quit on God. Let Him help you to be long-suffering tonight. Let Him help me to stay in it. In the middle of the summer, hang in there, I'm saying tonight, because God has a plan for your life. It might be to challenge you from His Word. It might be this. It might be that God wants to use you somehow. And you might not know how, but He wants to use you. I want you to think of this, if you would. Think of this in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. As Joseph is now with his brethren, and they've been mean to him. You say, my brother's mean, he pulls my pigtails. I'm going to tell you what, how many of you would agree Joseph's brothers were a lot meaner than that? Listen, they were jealous of his coat of many colors. They sold him into slavery. They told his father he was dead. They thought he was dead. Now, finally, according to prophecy, they come back and Joseph reveals himself to them. And he says this to them, Genesis 50, 20. Let's read it together. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is to this day, to save much people alive. I don't know. There might be someone in your life right now who means some evil against you. Maybe someone at work. Maybe someone that's a Christian. It happens. And they're attempting to discourage you tonight. There is a person called the Holy Spirit, however, who wants to help you become slow to wrath, long suffering. He wants to give you grace and peace that you couldn't have on your own, because on your own you would lash back at them. But God gives you strength and His Spirit gives you long suffering. And Joseph said, you know, I could have got mad and squashed you many times. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And I'm simply saying tonight, there's times as your pastor, I wish somehow I could just say, here, I grant you a master's degree. You don't have to go to college for extra classes. Here is $1 million. You don't even have to go get a job. And here, your marriage is restored, never to have a problem again. I wish I could do that for my children. I wish I could do that for church members I love. I wish I could remove every burden from your life. But my friend, we would not learn how to trust in the sovereign hand of God. And we would not learn the Word of God. And we would not learn to depend on the Holy Spirit of God if somebody rescued us out of every single problem. I'm praying tonight that God would change the contract at some of your work. I'm praying some of you would have a better boss. I'm praying some of you would have a financial a windfall. But until then, I'm praying that you'll grow in the Holy Spirit of God. Some of you fathers tonight, you wish you could solve every problem for your children. But I say to you tonight, in some cases you would be an enabler to their sin as well. There comes a point in time when our children must learn how to walk by faith and trust God. And some of you are 40, 50, 60 years old, learning now how to trust in God in a very special way. And we must persevere and we must have long suffering because God has a will and we don't want to miss it. And God wants to challenge us tonight and God wants to use us tonight. May I say, sometimes God wants to correct us. Would you turn in your Bible to Hebrews 12? I can't say who it is tonight. Far be it from me to say he's having a hard time. Wonder what kind of sin he did. That's not my place to say it. That, by the way, is not your place to say. But it is something to be noted in the Scripture. And when chastening comes, we must endure that time in the power of the Spirit. And we must not quit on God. And we must not get mad on God. But we must say, Lord, correct me, change me, make me to be what you want me to be. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Look, it's not always bad that we're having some trial, even if it's chastening. It may indicate that God in heaven is trying to work on your behalf and on your benefit. And he's trying to conform you to the image of his sweet son, the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Oh, we must persevere because God has a will for our lives and we don't want to miss God's will. You know, I'm tired of this nonsense. I just can't do it all. And somebody tell me, why is it that when pressure builds, the first thing we want to miss is God's house? When it's the thing we need the most. Because the devil's a liar. Why is the first thing we miss Bible reading? Because the devil's a liar. Oh, tonight, I believe the Holy Spirit gives perseverance and He helps us to keep on keeping on. Dr. Lee Robertson pastored 40 years. Dr. Bobby Robertson, 46 years. No doubt the Spirit of God kept them in the saddle and kept them going on for God. And they were persevering and persevering. And the Spirit of God strengthened them. And they found the will of God. And Dr. Lee Robertson saw 60,000 souls saved and baptized in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the stories go on, my friend, with people who stay and they're faithful and they persevere. So we must persevere to find the will of God for our life. Notice secondly, we persevere because God has a purpose for our life. He has a will and He has a purpose. Would you turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 8, please? Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. You see, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. I don't understand some of the trials Christians experience. And I get tired and discouraged. And I'm trying to say to you tonight, the Spirit of God wants to breathe some encouragement in your heart tonight. I can't give all the answers, but I can teach the Bible. By the way, I checked the sign out front. It said Baptist. And we're just going to see what the Bible says about the matter tonight. Romans 8:28, please. Say, oh, I know this one. You know it, but you're not living it. You know it, but you're not claiming it. You know it, but you haven't darkened an altar in months. Romans 8:28 says God has a purpose for your life. Let's read Romans 8:28 together. Ready? Begin. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's priority in the trial, God's priority in the difficulty, is that we would know that He's at work. That's step number one. God, I trust You right now. I know You have a purpose for this. And God says, my purpose is that you would be conformed to the image of my Son. Now listen, you can take a piece of clay and from it you can mold a valuable piece of pottery or china or a beautiful piece of tableware. But you must apply pressure and you must remove the impurity. And all of us tonight want to be vessels unto honor. And sometimes in order to get there, God has to do some molding. Some removing of some impurity to conform us to the image of His Son. When adversity comes, we want God to do a removing job. God wants to do an improving job. Charles Wesley was a Methodist back in the days when most Methodist churches preached the gospel. Charles Wesley once said, Dr. R, was it? It may have been John. It was one of those Wesley brothers who said this. I have so much to do today that I dare not start my prayers after 4 o'clock a.m. I must begin my day in prayer at 4. There was a day when men and women of God knew that because there was so much and because there was adversity, then we must spend time in prayer, time seeking God, and asking for His help in the midst of the trial. Tonight, I want to challenge you. God has a will for your life. He has a purpose for your life. Don't miss it. You say, I'm going through a time of need. All right, let's spend some extra time in prayer and say, Lord, show me what I need. Provide for me. Let's show our children and our grandchildren that God is still on the throne. Spend some time. Some of you men say, I need a job. Come like some men did Saturday night and raise your hand and say, I need a job. Men's prayer. And seek God's face in the matter. Our willingness to wait on the Lord is an expression of our faith. And tonight we see the perseverance of long suffering. God says the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. Long suffering helps us to persevere and say, Lord, this is hard right now, but I don't want to miss Your will. I don't want to miss Your purpose. I want to be more like You. And the devil says, I don't want you to be like Jesus. In fact, I'd like you to be half dead spiritually, out of church, quit every ministry you ever had. Don't pass out another gospel tract. But God says, I've got my Spirit in you. And the Spirit of God tonight through this message wants to breathe long suffering into you and help you stay in the race and give you your second wind tonight. I mentioned it this morning. I mentioned it again tonight. 63-year-old man that came into my office yesterday. He said, the Lord has spoken my heart through the conference. He was being honest. He said, I'll be honest with you. He said, I've worked hard in my life. He said, I get tired. I'm 63. I said, me too. I'm 74, I think, right now. He said, I don't think I should have been thinking this way, but he said, I've just been thinking lately about doing less. Just kind of not quitting on God, but just doing less. And he said, two things happened to me this week. He said, number one, I rode the bus last Sunday morning with John Downey. By the way, those of you that the devil's got you convinced how busy you are, why don't you ride a bus for a few months? So you're just trying to guilt. No, I'm just trying to say, It'll inspire you. Or not. But try it. He said, I rode the bus route with John Downey. He said, then I heard the message from Brother Ouellette. And Brother Ouellette said, in a 1 mile race at the very end, the last 200 yards, you don't just walk across the finish line, but there's something at the end of life called a kick. And here's a man who'd already raised his family, and now his daughter had trouble and her husband left, and he just adopted his grandchildren at 63. He's raising his grandchildren, and he was trying, kind of getting weary with all of it. And he said, the devil was telling me I didn't need to do so many things. I've already got my plate full. And he said, by the grace of God, I'm going to sprint across that line. I think the Holy Spirit breathed some long-suffering into him this week. The perseverance of long suffering. I want to speak to you secondly tonight about the influence of long suffering. Long suffering is the grace of the man who could revenge himself, but he does not. Long suffering helps us stay in the race. But listen, long suffering helps us stay in the race with a sweet spirit. I don't know about you, I don't want to be here 45 years from now going, well, I'm still here, aren't I? I want to still be here and be happy. I always say this. That's why I like to get around Dr. Sisk. He's always grinning. He's always happy. Approaching his mid-70s, just happy serving the Lord. Long-suffering and happy. Look it. Don't let the devil rob your joy. That's not easy right now. I understand that. But you're still saved and on your way to heaven. You live in a great country. You have people who love you and pray for you. And most of all, the Spirit of God within you. And you can see a great ministry if you will be faithful in times of long suffering. Sunday school teacher, your best sermon or lesson may not be the lesson you teach from the quarterly. It may be the life you live when times are getting tough. I want to say tonight, we need to have the right influence on our family. The Holy Spirit will help us to have patience and long suffering with our family. You see, a good marriage is not the result of finding the right person. It's the result of being the right person. Now don't misunderstand me. It's a good thing to find the right person and to know that you're in the will of God. But it is vitally important that we would be the right person. That we would have biblical long suffering. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. God bless some of you wives. You're sweet and kind, and you're trying to help your husband through a tough time, and you're being spiritual sometimes when maybe he's carnal or discouraged, and you're saying, hang in there, sweetheart. Hang in there, sweetheart. Thank God for spiritual wives tonight. Some of you men have a wife that is in church and she loves God and she likes to go to church and she likes her Sunday school class and she likes the choir and she likes you. You ought to just thank God for that tonight. You have a long-suffering wife. That's a gift from God. And the influence of that is amazing. And ladies, don't give up when your husband's a little crankety and crotchety. You might slip in at night when he's sleeping and beat him with a baseball bat, but when he's awake, be nice to him. Our family needs the influence. Our children, our grandchildren. I've been thinking about that lately. That's going to be a blessing. Looking forward to that. We're going to have Grandparents' Day several times a year that year, that first year. Just kind of looking forward to it. You know what? I don't want my grandchildren to have an old grumpy grandpa. I don't want my children to have a dad that just kind of hates the ministry. I get around preachers like that. And sometimes they say, well, ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. That's a dumb thing to say. Sometimes they tell deacon stories. But their deacons have never done that. I love our church family. Sometimes there's long and hard days, but to the best of my ability, I try to come home at night and not just unload on my wife or unload on my kids. I want to have long suffering for my family. I want to be strong for them. I thank the Lord for a wife who has long suffering. It's a help to me. The fact of the matter is that long suffering is a good influence in the home. It's so vital. So vital. And then I want to have long suffering with those around us. An influence of long suffering. I think of 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You never know what someone might be going through. But God says, I want you to have a good influence on others all of the time. You never know what someone else might be going through. I heard the story of a man who was on the New York subway. And he was kind of in a daze. And he had four kids. And they were running back and forth and coloring on the walls. And just being terrible. And a professional woman got on the subway. And she was watching the family and the man and the boys. And she was getting disgusted by the minute. No patience, no long suffering. Finally, she went over to the man and she said, sir, I don't know exactly what your problem is, but these are the most unruly children I've ever seen. You got to get these children in order. And the man looked up and he said, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. He said, about 30 minutes ago, I just learned that my wife, their mother, passed away. You know, sometimes we're all in a rage and a fit. We don't even know what someone else might be going through. God says the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering with your family, with others around you. Listen, you're going to go to work tomorrow with people that have so many burdens. And they're going to bug the living daylights out of you. Some of you have a boss that's so insensitive to your family. Some of you work with people that have trouble. And yet the fact of the matter is, what they need more than anything is to see a Spirit-filled Christian. I was walking out of a restaurant today. And I can't remember what the guy said. I think he said, hey, Pastor Paul, or something like that. He's sitting there and I said, hey, how you doing? Someone had given him a tract from our church. He said, what's this tree mean? Right here. I said, well, if you open up the inside there, it says that Jesus Christ can make a difference. See, this half of the tree is dead. This half of the tree is alive. And so Jesus brings life. Oh! He said, did you know that right now I'm drinking the most expensive bottle of wine in this restaurant? I said, no, I didn't. Didn't know that. He said, I am. He said, I'm drinking it in honor of all the troops over there in the Middle East. I thought, well, that's really an honor to them, I'm sure. He asked me some other such questions. That guy may work with one of you tomorrow. You know, you may not know what's going on in the life of some of those people you work with. They may be going through a broken family situation. They may have a teenager in jail. All I'm trying to say is, if you can walk in the Spirit and be long-suffering, they will see Jesus in you. And for the sake of your family, and for the sake of a lost world, we need to walk, as Ephesians 4:2 says, with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm speaking to you tonight about the perseverance of long-suffering, and we must let the Spirit of God keep us in the race when the devil says quit. And I'm thinking tonight of the influence of long suffering. And I'm saying tonight that if you and I walk in the Spirit, we can have an influence that matters in this society. Look at any old unsaved man can get ticked off and cuss. But somebody who's filled with the Spirit can show grace and a difference in their life. And then I think finally tonight of the deliverance of long suffering. the deliverance of long suffering. I want you to think with me tonight about the fact that we serve a soon coming Savior. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. You're looking at a pastor who believes tonight that Jesus Christ is coming very soon. You say, well, I've been saying that forever. Well, it's been 2 days on God's timetable. I believe that Jesus is coming. I believe the world geopolitical system is aligning. I believe the Antichrist may be alive and kicking right now somewhere, pulling some things together. It doesn't depress me. I'm simply saying tonight we're living in the last days, and I want to be long-suffering so that when that trumpet sounds, I'm not some sourpuss out on the side of the curb. I'm not quitting. I'm not being unfaithful. I want to be faithful when that trumpet sounds. The Bible speaks of it. We read of it in James 5 and verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Think of that. Establish your heart. Would you turn for a moment, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I heard about a little boy who was asked by his parents to make a message on the phone machine. A lot of parents like their kids to do that, so they practice with them. Mommy and daddy can't come to the phone right now. If you leave the name, phone number, and brief message, they'll get back to you just as soon as possible. And they had them say it 10 times. Mommy and daddy can't come to the phone right now. If you leave your name and if you leave your phone number and a brief message, they'll get right back to you as soon as possible. Finally, it was his time to do it. Here's what he said. Mommy and daddy can't come to the phone right now. If you leave your name, phone number, and a brief message, they'll get back to you just as soon as Jesus comes. Somehow that boy had instilled in his mind that Jesus is coming. By the way, we need to have that instilled in our mind. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such thing, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. I'm just simply saying tonight, sometimes the day is long, sometimes the trials are hard, but Jesus Christ has given us a deliverance, a promise that He's coming again, and that we're to be long-suffering until that time. And I know tonight that the devil fights, and sometimes in the middle of the summer, and we can grow weary, and yet God says, I have given to you My Spirit, and He will impart to you long-suffering, and I want you to persevere with long-suffering, that you will not miss the purpose that I have to teach you, to show you, to help you, to strengthen you. God has a purpose for your life, and God wants your life to have an influence. And if we are like every other cranky, quitting, complaining Christian, we lose influence. But when by the grace of God, we get through with a smile, we have an influence that makes a difference for eternity. And then not only do I think of the perseverance and the influence, but I think of the deliverance. One day, Jesus Christ will come and say, well done. Well done. Come on home. I just want to challenge you tonight. Consider the end of the thing. I want to challenge you to be faithful when Jesus Christ comes again. Oh, what a great day that will be.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.